Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction, again, to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics.
The first part of the Follow White Rabbit broadcast was to put you on a consistent message, was to get a message out there. There was approximately 24 of those done, or precisely 24 of those done, those broadcasts. And beyond that, we've been transitioning into this final phase. The second phase was just a transition, talking to you about White Rabbit traits and talking to you about news stories. And now we will transition into the final phase. The final phase is coasting in the chaos. And this will be the final phase for the Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit show. And this phase will keep up until chaos overcomes the world, which is what's happening now. And we're going to do some news and views, and I'm going to go back over some interesting points for you as things get really, really dicey on this planet Earth. First on the news front, we have the Pope. The Pope is coming under attack. I've talked to you about this Pope before. What we have are parties lining up and going at it. And I'm going to get into that on my next MP3. I'm going to actually go back over some deeper topics with you in a unique way. But I'm going to talk about these two different sides. And the Pope, of course, is coming under huge attack for good reason. There's a lot of little white rabbits that got raped in the Catholic Church, but they're trying to force him to resign. The challenge is that the Pope wrote himself out a resignation email. Who would he send it? How would he send it? To whom would he send it? You know, who's going to be at the other end of that? The Pope can't resign. He's there. This is something you do before he gets up there. You don't do it after. Doing it after doesn't really work. We're also at another time on the calendar. This is something else to keep in mind, where every institution you know will be coming apart. Yeah, every institution you know will be coming apart. I noticed on that New York is delaying tax refunds, and all the states over here in America, all the different governments are going to be delaying tax refunds. There's all kinds of problems coming all over the world. In America, there's financial problems coming from even the top sector. We have, blogs and stories, The Daily Beast, Peter Loria. Nation's first African-American billionaire, Robert Johnson, is enduring a cash crush so severe that reports that he had to hawk his NBA franchise to Michael Jordan for a song. Michael Jordan ended up, and Robert Johnson, just for the audience listeners, he owned BET, that's Black Entertainment Television. He sold it for like a few billion dollars. His wife took a lot of money, and he spends a lot of money because he's an African in America. And he bought this team that I didn't even know, I never heard of, an NBA franchise called the Bobcats, bought them for a ton of money. And he just sold it for an interest payment or something to Michael Jordan. He couldn't do anything with it, and he is, tapped out. And on the international front, so we basically have a financial crisis that is just, it is just horrendous. It is global. I'm going to get into once again the last at the end of this news broadcast. I'm going to talk about something I've talked about before, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper on their last hurrah, the last hurrah, the Red Hippo. And that's something I'm going to do at the end of this. I've talked about this before, that they're going to start saying, you know, the white rabbits are breathing too much energy or consuming too much stuff, and that everything's all our fault. And that's what is shaping up in this financial mess. This is all the fault of Western civilization. It's all the fault of our consumptions. It's all the fault of our race. That's where this stuff is going. I've talked about this, the last hurrah, the red hippo. But before I go into detail, and I'll read you an actual financial piece that spells it out. But this will be coming at you from all sides. But in America and around the West, things are becoming very, very dicey. Rabbits are very upset. The rabbits that are losing their minds will continue to lose their minds. The rabbits that are cool under pressure will continue to be cool under pressure. There will be a lot of confusion. There will be crazy stuff going on. The wicked get more wicked. The fearful will get more fearful. The good white rabbits stay calm and keep their wits will be just fine. But let's go around the world here. Arabs, this is, let's see, this is Breitbart, B-R-E-I-T-B-A-R-T. This is a general AFP release. Arabs to unite against Israel at annual summit. The Arabs are getting together, all the Libyan, you know, Muammar Gaddafi, and they're coming behind Palestine. And they're also putting things together, most likely to back Iran somehow, although they'd be terrified of Iran. It should be interesting to see how that one works out. But the Arabs are going to unite against Israel. They're not going to be divided. Jordan, even the Jordan King says in another AFP release through Breitbart, Jordan King says Israel is playing with fire. They're talking about these new homes are building in these new settlements. You know, Israel announced all these new settlements and caused chaos. Hillary and the vice president went over there. Vice president of the United States went over there and they upstaged them and caused this big brouhaha. Iran accused of arming the Taliban with explosives. Here we go. Yeah, they're going to war with Iran, kids. That'll be the beginning. Exactly when, I don't know, anytime. They're gearing up for it, and they've been gearing up for it, they've had their mindset on it, for quite some time now. Let's see here, special relationship between the UK and US is over. This is BBC News. Special relationship between the UK and US is over, MPs say. The UK government needs to be less differential towards the US and more willing to say no to Washington, a group of MPs have said. Obama is not your traditional, I know many of the conspiracy rabbits believe he's owned by the Rothschilds, believe that he's owned by certain groups, and there's these groups, these Jew rabbit groups are all around him, but there's some interesting things with him, and if you notice, he's ticking off everybody, but that's kind of his job. And so it's fascinating, he gave back the bust of Churchill. Mr. Rothschild wasn't holding fundraising dinners for him. Now they'd have their bases covered with him. They'd be able to get all around him. They'd be able to blackmail him into war. The groups that know more about Obama than anyone else would probably be the Russians, because Obama grew up a communist, and you notice Obama bends over backwards to cut deals with Russia, which is interesting in itself. So they're now formally announcing the special relationship between the UK and US is over. This is a split in Anglosphere. I've talked about this. Obama's not what most people think. Is he the anti-rabbit? I hope so. I hope so. And the gloves are coming off within the Europeans. Within the European split. Let's go on over another big battle. That's brewing. You know, you've got Israel and Obama. Israel, this is the Times Online. Netanyahu humiliated after Barack Obama dumped him for dinner. We've heard this. Obama, this is, let's see, your front page news. Front page news is a neocon network, frontpagemag.com. Their blog, Obama snubbed Netanyahu to have dinner with Michelle and kids. They're talking about this. Israel and everyone's really worried, wondering what he's doing. And of course, that's part of the deal coming into this. I don't know whether it's negotiated, because they're all around him. They got to go to war with Iran. That's fine. You start it, but we're going to have a schism first, so it doesn't look like it's your fault, not our fault, and then we'll come in. I would look for Israel to start the thing and Obama to sell them out or something. He's leading you, little pink rabbits. He's going to lead you to your doom. That's what he's going to do. And once the war starts, I'll have some cue cards of how things are going to go. But this is not some normal walk in the park. And the type of activities we're seeing on the street level are not normal. It's a time for change. And this is going to be a little more than wild, in my opinion. But the gloves are coming off across Anglosphere. Conrad Black wrote a piece for the Daily Beast, which is interesting because Conrad Black's in jail. He's a big media, neocon media baron in jail. And he wrote a piece about Berlusconi. Now, Berlusconi, Silvio Berlusconi, is a prime minister in Italy. And Italy, you got a Russian, Italian, German axis. Everyone on the planet knows about it, except maybe some conservatives in America and some white nationalists in America, or mostly Americans don't know about it, but everyone else on the planet knows about it. And we have Rupert Murdoch taking the gloves off and really slinging mud. Rupert Murdoch has a lot of news assets around the world, and they're slinging mud at the Italian prime minister, and there's a lot of mud to sling at him. He's a pretty dicey character. But you got the Pope in Italy, and he's getting mud. He's getting a lot of pressure and a lot of mud slung at him, probably for good reason that you can't do anything about. And you've got another battle opening up between a media titan who owns a lot of media assets in the Anglosphere. That's Rupert Murdoch. He owns Fox News. He owns all kinds of stuff. And Silvio Berlusconi. It's interesting. And in Conrad Black's piece for the Daily Beast, the title is Murdoch's Italian Offensive, that they're trying to cause problems within Italy to dislodge him. What they're trying to do is this is a last-ditch effort. And this thing has been in stages. They've been taken down piece by piece by piece. And the plot's going to thicken on this stuff. In my next piece, the plot will thicken, and I will go over some other stuff that I haven't told you that's a little more interesting. But it all ties together. It's all coming together. I don't know how wild things will get in somewhere like America, because you have a lot of crazy rabbits. You have a lot of white crazy rabbits. You have a lot of crazy Mexicans. You have a lot of crazy Africans. And we're at the time where crazy rules. But when everything's all the rabbits are going crazy, just keep your head. I expect there to be a huge war, and after the war, there'll be something, it'll be a different day on the planet. And, that won't necessarily be great for white rabbits at first, but you just hold on. Hold on to your magic carpet. But the gloves are coming off between these groups because there's been a betrayal. It's a betrayal that's good for white rabbits. It goes back a long ways. And this betrayal has now seeped down. This betrayal, in my opinion, was found out probably a decade ago, maybe as soon as 2000, 2001, or 2003. I don't know when the actual big betrayal was found out about. But it's seeped down. And as it seeps down, the gloves are coming off. You are seeing both sides. One side is upstaging the other. You know, they have their new man golfer, who's a multi-speckly brown rabbit golfer, Tiger Woods, and he has his blonde trophy wife, and that's their game. That's their new world order. You know, white rabbit genocide in any way, shape, manner, or form, but that's the way they want it, because apparently they need us for something too. But anyways, that's their shtick. That's their deal. And he was upstage with all these crises and threw his marriage into turmoil. Well, when it comes to professional athletes monkeying around or doing crazy stuff, there's nothing new about it, black, white, yellow, whatever. But you got to ask yourself, who benefits from this? Why is it being done now? I mean, he's basically a trophy new man. He's your trophy multi-speckly brown rabbit new man with his blonde wife, which is what they promote. Yeah, that's all they promote in Hollywood. And then you have you have that type of thing that's been going on with regular frequency. They've been upstaged. On the other end, they pull out the clubs and they pull out the gloves and they go after maybe someone else's asset in Hollywood, like Jesse James. Now, they're all big targets because they're all crazy. They're all doing crazy stuff. Am I saying Jesse James is on our side? I don't know, but I'm just telling you the gloves are coming off. It's a trend. I observe trends. The gloves are coming off and have come off as this betrayal has seeped down. This betrayal is the funniest thing that White Rabbits have ever done. But we're at a time on the calendar when it was the funniest thing we've ever participated in. We're at a time on the calendar where we're going to get big treats. That's the way it works. The universe loves us because we make all the progress. Yeah, we don't have everything because we're lucky. We have everything because of genes. So let's move on over and let's talk about this funny thing. Bloomberg sends a stern letter to Obama demanding gun control action. Do it! Do it! Please, Talibama. Please! Now that would be crazy. That would be crazy. Oh, and Obama's playing a role, you know. He's playing the role. He's a bad, you know, he's a wicked, speckly brown rabbit. And he is. But you couldn't ask for anything better right now than the Talibama. Would John McCain be doing the same? No, John McCain's just being more deceptive about it. John McCain would probably have us already, we'd be in, you know, you'd be in, the Christians would be in pitch battles against the anti-rabbit already. And they are, they're ready for it. Christian militias over in America are getting arrested because they're getting ready for pitch battles with the anti-rabbit. Oh my. Let's see what Obama does on gun control. Let's see here. This is the funniest thing. Goodwin Liu, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. It's Goodwin and then L-I-U. And he was he clerked for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg's of the Supreme Court. And he is radical. He's no more radical than many of the self-hating white people I grew up around. He's probably no more radical than Ruth Bader Ginsburg, his you know, mentor. But he is for reparations on slavery. And they're talking about making him some big nominee for some position as judge. And they're talking about how dicey that would be. And they're talking on National Review that it's just going to bring up more racism. But you see, this is the problem. Everything Obama does becomes racial. There's no way to avoid it. Now, what's the difference between Goodwin Liu and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's already on the Supreme Court? Nothing. Nothing. Ruth Bader, Miss Ginsburg looks like a white woman. She's Jewish, but she looks white. And Mr. Goodwin Liu, he's Taiwanese or something. He's not a white rabbit. So as soon as you visualize things, it gets them even more upset, and they're starting to get upset. I mean, even more than they're already upset. And for the foreign audience, let me tell you, I've never seen anything like America right now. It's a powder keg. It's crazy. But this is precisely what he will do, and that's precisely what I will support. In the American Revolution, they had all kinds of judges that had a lot more power than these judges do now. And they had a king, George III, who had a lot more power than any president could ever imagine. And you know what they told them all? They told them all to go to hell. That's what white rabbits do. White rabbits start singing that song by that famous Irish singer Phil Collins. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. That's what American white rabbits are starting to sing, and it can be dangerous. Moving around the world to Russia. China buys air defense systems from Russia. Russia is loading down China with these special S-300 batteries. They got 15 more batteries. And who knows what that's about. Wow. And anyways, they keep on threatening of setting more of these up in Tehran, or that they did set these up in Tehran, which makes it almost impossible to attack Iran. And we won't know what they did in Iran until it's over. Let's see here. There's big protests in Russia, or so they say. There's big protests, according to the Christian Science Monitor. 30 cities across Russia across 11 time zone had anywhere from 200-300 protesters to as many as 2,000. Big deal. There's been a big terrorist attack in Russia. 30 rabbits got blown to smithereens by the Chechen terrorists. Some black widows, some women strapping on suicide bombers. Women suicide bombers. And this is apparently is carried out by Doku Umarov, D-O-K-U-U-M-A-R-O-F. A-R-O-V, I'm sorry, U-M-A-R-O-V. And will this terrorist attack do anything to hurt Russia? No. No, it hurts those white rabbits, but anything like this tends to reinforce centralized power, not hurt it, because you got a strong man there. You got a couple strong men. You got a handful of strong rabbits. And this just creates a problem. There'll be a reaction, there'll be a crackdown, and they'll implement solutions. So it's tragic for those families, it's tragic for the white rabbits in the area, but this is not, this is not good if you're walking around Moscow and you don't look Russian. This isn't good because what happens is all the Russians pull together. I'm talking about Russians, white Europeans who live in Russia. They pull together and they look the other way when someone has to defend themselves, or the police look the other way when the skinheads are walking down the street and stuff like that. And they're already chiming up, Novosti, R-I-A-N-O-V-O-S-T-I, reports of xenophobia against Muslim-looking people in Moscow. Unfounded social organization. They're combating this both ways. And if you're a Muslim there, it could be pretty ugly. Anything that doesn't look Russian basically is going to have problems there now. That's the way that works. And they will be taking the war out on all fronts. And this is the beginning of the next stage. After war with Iran, there'll be a big confrontation with Islam and who knows what else. Maybe the Mexicans and the Africans in America. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see after the opening blow. But that's certainly the next phase. That's certainly phase two. And that has already started. It's already started in many ways all across Western civilization. They're a bad rash, but they have a tendency to eat cancer, and I went into this. Yeah, the Muslims have themselves, they're a cancer-eating rash. But that has already started, that confrontation. Now, Putin, you know, there's always a lot of cross currents going on in Russia, because he's not necessarily playing the game he wants to play, and he doesn't have any borders per se. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. It's pretty fluid. An event like this cleans out certain areas pretty quickly, because it opens up his ability to act. Now, I want to go into, they're going to release a young man, and he's pretty famous in white nationalist circles or racialist circles, named Tesak, which is the hatchet. And I'm going to talk about him for a little bit. Now, going back over Russia, I was asked a direct question. On Stormfront, Russia has always been a very contentious issue, and the white nationalists have always been a very contentious issue. The Russians are very ethnically aware. They're not used to any demoralization. They haven't been demoralized. They've been under pretty much proactive Russian nationalists. Type media with a lot of cross currents coming in, because Russia doesn't control its borders, and that team is not getting everything they want. And I'll put a new face on it. It's Putin and Prussia Inc., or as what we will now call it, Putin and Greater Prussia Inc., because he's part of a team. Medvedev, they're all part of a team. If you're listening to me and you're on a consistent message, whether you know it or not, you're part of a team. You know, I don't deal in me's, I deal in we's, making sure I never get in the way of us. I've always told you that, stuff like that. You're part of a team, you're never alone. So, when it comes down to exactly what's going on in Russia, some things are hard to read. And you have these good little white rabbits that want to fight, or they want to get up, and in Russia you can't do anything directly. And there's a typical story. There's a famous Russian skinhead. He's in all the videos. They call him Tesak, and I don't even know how it's spelled. T-E-S-A-K or something like that. And he's called, that means, in the Russian, it supposedly means a hatchet. And, you know, during one of these big terrorist attacks, the one where they blew up the apartment complex, he had a girlfriend die or something like that, so he becomes radicalized. He becomes radicalized against foreigners, becomes a famous skinhead. The BBC starts doing episodes about him. Now, this is back, he's been in jail 3 years. He's getting out in 2010, so that's, let's see, it was back in 2007, 2006. He's very famous skinhead in Russia. and he's one of the ones that went to jail. So he becomes radicalized. It's just conditions. And he doesn't know anything about practical politics. At the time, he doesn't know any of that, so he becomes very radicalized. And he made himself a byproduct of several BBC documentaries. And every morning, Putin and company, the Kremlin, had to deal with phone calls from human rights organizations about skinheads, specifically his group. Usually 30 plus calls a day. And the OECD in Europe, they're all pro-white genocide, by the way. The OECD in Europe that's pro-white genocide is blaming Putin for this stuff, and they're blaming the Russians, and they've let things get out of hand. And I don't know what he did. He probably didn't do anything wrong, but he was a little hard-headed, a little thick-headed, wanted to fight the system, and so they threw him in jail for 3 years. And he's a famous skinhead. And he's getting out. Now, as he gets out, he issues statements that he's going to get into politics. That's intelligent. He says that he's going to go that route. He's not interested in these little Hitlers and stuff like that, that... you know, it seems like someone's got him down, or he's figured out if that wasn't all part of the plan to begin with, because he became famous off all this. Yeah, Putin's, they're that smart there. They could have a skinhead, make him famous, and throw him in jail for a few years, and then make him a superhero in politics or something like that. Why not? That's not a bad thing to do. Whatever works. But he's not very hard-headed anymore. And what I've always tried to say, that what you think is going on is not going on. And in the next couple pieces, I'm going to kick it up. I'm going to talk about some things above, way above, going on. I'm going to reveal some more things to you that I believe to be true, and that we're seeing come true, if you know what you're looking for. But you've got to pretty much survive there and learn the game. And so I'm going to read this post. This is a post from Stormfront. In fact, we Russians who live in Russia have no legal way to go into politics, to create communities, to do anything real. We have to do it illegally or not do it at all. And I'll interject, no, you just have to be Russian nationalists right now. Today's Russia is a police state where any citizen's activity counted as a threat to our state, and where the state quells all attempts for ethnic Russians to do something. At the same time, those who are not ethnic Russian are free to create their communities, to print their newspapers, pursue their agenda. Yes, there is some negative conditioning going on there. Within range, but when you have crackdowns like this coming, you have big opportunities to do things. You just have to play under the rules. If Mr. Tesak gets on a consistent message, you can sell his book in the Duma, like David Dukes. If Mr. Tesak and all the little skinheads are wise asses, they want to be out hard-headed, beating the system, they want to be out war with the system, then you all end up in jail. You just choose your side. You have to play by the rules in front of you. They're not playing the game they want to play, and they're not revealing anything. No one fully understands everything about what they have going on. That's the way it's designed, and Putin wouldn't fully know either. But one thing he will not let, he's not going to let someone become a subject of a BBC documentary in London day and night. They're not going to let someone give them a headache of 40 or 50 human rights organizations calling them every day to comment on it. They're not going to let someone become a headache that their enemies can use to give them problems over an OECD. Mr. Tesak is lucky he wasn't in London, or he'd be in jail for 5,000 years. In Russia, he's in jail for 3 years to learn his lesson. Consider yourself fortunate. So yeah, in Russia, you can't say it. You just got to do it. Don't fool around. You know, you shouldn't be fooling around anywhere, but you can be on a consistent message anywhere, and you will do fine. It was often rumored that Putin and company, Putin and Prussia Inc., you know, they have a motto, and I'll read you your motto. The motto is right out of Sun Tzu's The Art of War. Let your plans be as dark and as impenetrable as night, and when you move, fall like a thunderbolt. I'm going to repeat that. Let your plans be dark and as impenetrable as night, and when you move, fall like a thunderbolt. You need to think about that. Play the game in front of you. Again, if you play the game in front of you, you're okay. If you're trying to fight, you can't fight. You're looking to dominate an energy flow at a certain time. If the game opens up and you go back to playing Wild Wild West, well, then that's fine. You can't just run around attacking people willy-nilly or fighting for your territory like the Mexicans do or something like that. They're not going to let you. Why are they allowing all these groups to do anything? Well, it's the last hurrah of the Red Hippo. Maybe he doesn't get to make that call. No one really fully understands everything. If I were to tell you everything, you wouldn't believe me or understand it anyways. So you're just going to have to play this one out and play the game in front of you. When it comes to Russia's position in this, I've never seen so many people, so many of my enemies upset and directed at one individual. And now it's spreading to everyone on his team. You don't really see them upset at Germany. Germany doesn't do anything, but Putin and company are the head of the spear, and there is more venom and fire aimed at these guys than anyone else. And it's been like that ever since the unveiling started. You know, and that's just the way it's going to be. So if you're there, hold on tight, play the rules in front of you, but you will see in Russia, you know, you can get in a lettuce patch. Lettuce patch is always illegal for rabbits. You just don't want to get caught in one. You know, I never told anyone not to get in a lettuce patch, just don't get caught in one. You shouldn't do anything illegal. But, you know, skinheads in Russia, some groups want to be able to run around and get in power and ethnically cleanse the place nonstop. That would be disastrous for us. Long term, that's what your enemy wanted. Your enemy wanted to put a bunch of neo-Nazis in power and let them go crazy and then rally the world against them. That would have been disastrous for us. That may be the only plan they had left at the time. I don't know, but there is a long running plan and you're part of it. I don't know everything, but I know the direction the stuff goes. Let's see here. And in the next one, I'm going to talk about, I was asked a question about consistent messages and how the enemy views it. And that's a good question, how the enemy views this stuff, because I know a little bit about how the enemy views this stuff when this broadcast and when this stuff first came out. And I'm going to go into that in the next one. I'm going to give you the basics on that. But in one last piece, I want to read you something, because we're coming into the, we're coasting in the chaos here, and on this show we're coasting because we're pretty much ready for it. Yeah, we're as ready as you can be. But I'm going to read you this piece. This is Global Research, and this is, they sent it out to a lot of the financial types read this stuff, and this is by Andrew Gavin Marshall, Western Civilization, the Economic Crisis, and Impoverishment of the Middle Class. And in it, he goes on part one. I'm going to read you part one because I think it's important for you to hear. You're going to hear this time and time again. As the last hurrah, the Red Hippo. This is his final game card. War, racism, and the empire of poverty. The Western nations of the world have built their great wealth and societies on the exploitation and plundering of the people and resources of the rest of the world. The wealth, freedom, and structures of our societies have been built on starvation, robbery, deprivation, and murder millions upon millions of the world's people, both historically and presently. It seems for a time that Western civilization had worked, even if only for the West. We saw the emergence of the growth of the vibrant middle class, which has its origins in the Industrial Revolution, out of which we saw the formation of the nuclear family, the middle class of the West grew in wealth, education, access, while the great problems of the world, and for the majority of the world's people, persisted and expanded exponentially. The great purpose of the middle class was siphoned and expanded into facilitating the development of masses, consumerist society. The function of the middle class became that of consuming, not necessarily contributing to the detriment, determining the direction of society. Nevertheless, life was good, or so it seemed. Thus, people were, by and large, able to turn a blind eye to the plight of the world's majority. As the decades progressed, however, the great Western empires increasingly united under umbrella of U.S.-led NATO empire grossly expanded their plundering exploitation of the rest of the world. New avenues for capital expansion needed to be found, more money to be made, more assets to be owned, more power to be had. As part of the process, class structure was being reorganized, which meant that the middle class was to undergo a revolution. In the past few decades, the middle class has been forced to survive on debt in order to maintain the image of the middle class and maintain the functions of the middle class to consume. The middle class needed to access to credit. As nations fall under debt crisis, the middle class will collapse with it. A class built and sustained on debt is not sustainable. We are entering into a period of rapid class transformation on a global scale. The mirage of the middle class is steadily vanishing as our eyes adjust to the reality of environment. The empire we turned a blind eye to abroad is about to hit home. What we do abroad comes home to roost. The middle class is about to realize the true cost of empire. And what they're going to say is that everything white rabbits have is from exploitation. I've talked about this before. That we're evil, and we're talking white rabbits. Yeah, they're talking. It's racial. This is not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. It's the last stand of the red hippo. But you're going to hear more and more of this type of stuff. White rabbits breathe too much air. They've already tried that angle. That angle got cut off. But this is the last one, you know, that everything we have from exploitation. Now, you could take everything white rabbits have away from them. They could all move to Russia and get it back in a decade because race is real. They don't ever want to say that, or they don't really believe that. They can't really see that or something along those lines. You know, they have this big blind spot, and that's why, you know, their New World Order is based on white rabbit genocide. They have their motionless brown world. They got to wipe us out genetically on some level, either directly or through some force blending scheme. And we'll talk about a little bit more about our consistent message in white rabbit genocide, and we're going to go into that in a minute. But I want you to be aware that that is their angle. That's the last hurrah. This is as we coast into chaos. There's going to be a big war, and they're going to say someone's going to get up, and it's going to be a lot of razzle dazzle, and they're going to say all the problems are weird because of white rabbits, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You always want to confront your enemy on racial terms, so that's wonderful. What's odd is that all white rabbits are saying this stuff. Yes, there's a problem with equality in only white children's homes, only white children's schools, only white children's countries. They don't want to say race is real, and most of them can't see it. Yeah, they have a problem. Pink rabbit banksters and elitesters, the red hippo, and then some of the little pink rabbits, they can't see that. They can't actually see equality. They, you know, all animals are equal, and some animals are equal than others. We're just problem in rabbits to them. You know, maybe I'll go into a different angle on that in the next one about the something in popular culture. Popular culture many times will tell you about your enemies, you know, the vampire rabbits and the werewolf rabbits. They are born from one father, and the werewolf rabbits are problematic because every full moon they run around attacking people. But their job is to guard the vampire rabbits. And the vampire rabbits, you know, they have their common stock and their preferred stock. Well, these stupid animals had the insanity to try to blend up their stock, and that's not worked out so well. But popular culture is always funny in talking about our enemies, but the vampires just look at all of them like cattle, you know, common stock and preferred stock, and some vampires are just all cattle are equal, you know, they're just food for us. And the werewolf's job is to defend the vampires because the vampires can't go out during the day. And the werewolves and the vampires can sometimes go at it, but the werewolves are extremely toxic and dangerous because when that rabbit turns into a werewolf, someone's going to get attacked. They can't control their behavior. There's so much truth in that. But it's funny. I know who the werewolves are. The problem for the world is the werewolves got their own country and they can't calm down. The were-rabbits. And there's a strain of them that cannot control their behavior, and they always go right to the top. They got their own rabbit hole. They're causing problems, attacking things right and left. And the vampires, of course, the vampires are slick, good-looking, like they always are in the movies. White rabbits who feed off blood. You know, I want to suck your blood. But the problem with the vampire rabbits is... you know, they're all good-looking white rabbits. They got dirty secrets, but they tried to mix their common stock and their preferred stock. And that doesn't work, because the preferred stock is preferred for a reason. And there's another problem they have. The werewolves that were supposed to guard them during the daylight, because they can't see anything, apparently, in the daylight. They can't come out or they get burned alive. The most virulent variety are all at the top or over in their own rabbit hole, causing all kinds of chaos. Yeah. You should never give were-rabbits their own rabbit hole. And then, of course, someone built up a huge enemy against the were-rabbits that they have to fight. You know, popular culture is very funny stuff. Maybe I'll go into some more of that stuff. But they both have the same ancient father. Yeah, they both are foul. There's something seriously wrong with this. And that's the pink rabbits and the pink rabbit banksters and leasters, the vampires and the werewolves. And the vampire rabbits and the were-rabbits. But every 30 day, every full moon, those were-rabbits gotta shed some blood. They're nuts. But when it comes to Russia and when it comes to all these things, your job is to survive and hang on. We survive the toughest part. We just gotta continue to coast through this chaos as we get big treats, as the big breaks start happening. And I'm going to go over a direct question about consistent message, and I'm going to go over from a little bit different angle. I'm going to show you how an enemy views a consistent message. But always be aware that they're going to try to pull this. That's their act. That's their game plan. That's their NWO. New White Rabbits have got to, everything they have, they got to give it up because, we're evil and, we exploited people. That's been their game from day one. But they don't have a New World Order, do they? So even if the Red Hippo comes out and that's what we want, even if the Obama's the anti-rabbit and that's what we want, even if they rally the world against White Rabbits, they still don't have it yet until we're all gone on some level. You got to remember that. So stay focused and stay on message, all those that are on message, because you're doing a tremendous job. And I'm going to go into that in a few minutes. In America, this podcast has been out since May 16, 2009. It was actually a couple weeks before that, but the first post on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar allowing people to click and to listen to this was on May 16, 2009, and now it's like April 2nd, 2010, so it's been 10.5 months. And starting coming into last fall, we had a consistent report. I've had a consistent report about people coming on a consistent message and at different events and so on and so forth. A couple of those have made it into MP3. I talked before about the Voice of Reason radio show where the woman was obviously a listener and she made her point. But we get consistent reports. You never really know the whole deal until someone records something on MP3. And of late, there's been an actual MP3 called The Tea Party Movement and White Rage, where someone has obviously been a listener, or someone has read Bob's Underground Seminar, or you get the point. They're on a consistent message. They didn't do the whole mantra, and there's been reports about them doing the whole mantra, but at the tea parties. I just haven't heard one on MP3, but this is on Occidental Descent. There's an ongoing post about this on whitenewsnow.com, and it's under Bob Whitaker's Barbecue, and it's called The Mantra in Action. And there are various different arguments going on online where guys are consistently, guys and gals, White Rabbits are consistently making their point, but now it's starting to leak out, and it's starting to get put on MP3 from other directions. And it's 10.5 months. That's how fast this stuff works. And I always get emails from people surprised at how fast this stuff works. Well, that's exactly how it does work in a closed society. When a closed society is primed and pumped, it doesn't take, all it takes is the horn of Jericho and the walls are coming down. It takes the right sound at the right moment and it starts. But I'm going to talk about this from a different perspective. I'm going to talk about this from our enemy's perspective. Because the enemy does not mention us. Yeah, we don't exist to the enemy. We exist, but we don't exist. The enemy doesn't talk, has never once talked about Bob Whitaker, the SPLC, the ADL, none of the official groups mention Bob Whitaker. You would think he would make news. None of the Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar guys or gals ever make news. Horace the Vendor's Follow the White Rabbit does not exist. But I'm going to talk to you from their perspective, from the perspective of the Pink Rabbit banksters and elitesters. You see, America has always been a secure spot for them. And I'm broadcasting from America. Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, most of the posts, not all of them, but many of the posters, including Bob himself, they're all in America. Now, Bugs itself extends across the world, it extends across all white rabbit holes, but there's a lot of them that are in America. There's a concentration been on America, obviously, for a certain reason. Our enemy was very, very secure in its timetable in America. Timetable is something, your modus operandi. You know, you got a timetable which you can act. But if something goes wrong, well, you're generally okay. They're generally been okay because America is somewhere where they haven't had to worry about their control points or any of their, controlled opposition like in the Republican Party, or they haven't worried about the banksters and elitesters because they have everyone bought out, so on and so forth. They have a secure position at the top of America, obviously. Well, that is basically what you see is what you get. But in 2009, you were basically 15 years out of demoralization. You had a consistent message, a very good consistent message, called the mantra. And if you go to Bob's Underground Seminar, you can read it for you. I'm not going to read it again on this show, for this, just this moment, but you have a consistent message. And that consistent message was being put up on bulletin boards. There was all this stuff going on with it. And, Bob had went around talking about it, and he gave some speeches at some white nationalist type things, and different people, different parties had become involved working with it. But on May 16th, 2009, something new happened there, and that's the first time you got to hear me. And obviously, if you're someone that's used to going to Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, you're someone used to going there and or listening to Bob or reading their stuff, mine comes from a same direction but a radically different sound, a radically different tone, radically different than anything any white rabbit's going to have ever heard. They've never heard anything like this. That can be good and that can be bad. But the enemy would not have such luxury. They don't view things like most white nationalist rabbits or most conservative rabbits, and that's who mostly troll Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. This podcast first went out across the Stormfront, Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar channel. First on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar and then on Stormfront. Truck Roy helped promote it. Truck Roy has his radio show there, but the enemy doesn't really have a choice of likes or dislikes. What happened is this white rabbit genocide is you have all these pink rabbit banksters and elitesters and all the pink rabbits, and there are all these pots on the stove, and you have this huge stove across the world, and there's all these pots, and these pots are full of illegal activity that they could be boiled in. But at the back of the back burner, you have this massive pot. It's the biggest pot anyone's ever seen. It's a pot that they could all get put in on any given day, and that pot is white rabbit genocide. They cross the line in many different ways. They cross the line so blatantly, anyone can see it as long as they take their blinders off. But in all these other pots, you have the pink rabbit banksters and elitesters involved in Israel, and a lot of them could be in a lot of trouble on any given morning, right, with Palestine, human rights violations, international tribunals, so on, that type of thing. And that's kind of obvious. That's kind of obvious, but that doesn't include all pink rabbit banksters and elitesters and all pink rabbits. That doesn't include all of them. And you have various different banking things. You have Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff was a Jew rabbit. He got himself in problem. He got himself burned alive in a pot, boiled alive in a pot. But there's this one pot in the back, white rabbit genocide, that no one's ever talked about, that the consistent message is out there for, that they've always been terrified of, because it's open and shut. It's every pink rabbit in the pool. It's a huge pot. And if you go to your enemy, if you go to your allies, even among the Asians, that's the pot everyone wants, because it is the most ruthless pot out there. It's not one rabbit at a time, one pink rabbit at a time, one pink rabbit bankster and elitester at a time. It's not group by group. It's everyone in the pool. You could take down anyone you wanted to take down and throw them in that pot. It's just been so blatant. But, it takes time. You have to have 15 years of some type of new media neutralizing things. And you have to have everything lined up. But on May 16th, 2009, I came live for better or worse. And the question is, how long would an enemy have to respond or decide what to do? Well, the first, you have 90 to 120 days. That's it. By August 16th, you got June, July, August 16th, September 16th. If you have a deal on the table, you got to make your deal. You have the 4th Infantry coming toward Baghdad. If the 4th Infantry is coming toward Baghdad and you're, let's say, a white rabbit bankster and you're with the pink rabbits, but you don't really want to be with them, and you've got a deal on the table, well, you got a timeline. You got to make that deal. But that's really what you have when this type of thing comes out. They don't have the luxury of saying, Horace the Avenger and Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, they're not going to hit. the bullseye on this. You don't have that luxury. They don't have that luxury. In other words, they don't know if I'm going to be able to find you. Yes, you. The little white rabbit that bugged all their friends to listen, or the little white rabbit that went on a message that could do nothing but sit around and say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. They would be banking, you'd be gambling that I couldn't find you. And as we've seen, that's a bad gamble. That was a horrible, horrible gamble. They weren't willing to make it, by the way. But if you have a deal on the table, and there's very various different elements that would look at it different ways. But what happens when it goes up is, you know, there are several different parties that would have deals on the table, like what, you know, like a decent general in Saddam Hussein's army that doesn't want to be with Saddam when Iraq is going down. Well, he's going to have a deal open with the American government, and that deal would be open until the 4th Infantry gets too close to Baghdad. Once the 4th Infantry starts getting close to Baghdad or whatever, well, that deal's no good anymore. They don't need him anymore. But he's going to have to make a choice, and there's a timeline there. The timeline on the choices you'd have to make, the decisions you'd have to make on where to go, are 90 to 120 days, because your timetable in America is no longer guaranteed. As soon as a consistent message comes live, as soon as that grenade of white rabbit genocide gets thrown into your lap, you have 90 to 120 days. Now, you don't know if it's going to blow up. You don't know if I may have to fine-tune, or we may have to fine-tune, or I may not be able to find my rabbit. You don't know if maybe Bob and Bugs and company are getting a little rusty with bringing down close societies. Maybe he's getting old. Maybe he's not going to bat his high batting average. You know, maybe the Berlin Wall can't come down. But those were all bad, horrible bets. And you know, it's either blink or get out of the way or get hit by a Mack truck. But you have basically a 90 to 120 day lead time before your enemy would have to make a decision on what to do. And there's various different elements. There's the ones that want to cut deals and they'll cross lines. They're in the wrong place at the right time. And they're not really with them and want an out, and they take an out. It's not funny anymore when it's everybody going down with the ship. And they've been way too secure in America. But a consistent message really takes away that security, and it takes it away overnight. Because they don't have the luxury of a white nationalist saying, well, I don't like Horace Avenger, you know, that would never work. Well, they're not as naive. It doesn't matter if you like me or not. What matters is if I can hit that one white rabbit in one area code, that will get on a consistent message. And that would have been a horrible bet. That would have been a horrible, horrible bet. Because that's happening. This stuff spreads like wildfire. But the first 90 to 120 days are critical to our enemy. It's not that they're critical for me, because I can adjust. The guys at Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar can adjust. But on May 16th, 2009, this went live. I don't know if you're one of the first to go on a consistent message and you listen to me now, or if you're late. But those guys that went on it first or were on it by October, we made some history. I just don't know the full story yet. But you have to blink. You're not talking about bringing down a close society anymore. You're talking about bringing a close society down right on top of some rabbits who are guilty of a lot of crime, namely attempting to wipe white rabbits off the earth through a very weird, unnatural way, force blending and other things like that. It's genocide. It's genocide under international law. But on May 16, 2009, that came out, the thing that you would have to look at from the enemy's perspective is someone is assigned to go to Bob's site. Yes, someone gets paid to go there and go to Stormfront and say what they're looking at, what they see, what's going on, what's happening. And for quite some time, they've seen things pick up on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. They had, you know, you got Bob's porch talk, and Bob does talks at, did a couple white nationalist talks, and, he's always talking to certain conservatives and whatnot, and they're spying on Bob. It's their job. And then, of course, you have the mantra had been refined and came out, and it's going on all these bulletin boards over the past few years. With increasing frequency now and on Stormfront, they would report that. But in general, the tone, the message is there. They just don't talk about the message. Not that they don't know about it. They just don't talk about it, because why would you make everyone aware of that? It's not something you're going to make everyone aware of. Your enemy's not out to do us any favors, and that's fine. But on May 16, 2009, anyone that clicked that heard something radically different. Yeah, the whole entire tone of the show is radically different. And the first thing that a lot of Bob's allies that maybe don't know how this thing works, don't know how this type of thing works, the first thing they're going to say is, why on earth would Bob Whitaker have something like that on there? You know, Horace the Avenger is not necessarily, I don't sound necessarily conservative or white nationalist. One of the most interesting critiques of it was on ourgazetter.org, and it says everything we're hearing at first. It sounds deeply subversive. But I don't talk about anything illegal. And he went on to, you know, but anyone hitting that link is going to hear that. Maybe many of you thought that. This isn't the type of white nationalist type of show. This isn't anything that you're used to hearing. You may be, a lot of them were caught off guard, a lot of traditional conservatives and a lot of white nationalists that we can't believe Bob Whitaker's letting this put up on. He has a link to White Rabbit Radio. But you see, you're looking at it from your perspective, and that's fine. Old Bob's going to look at it from the enemy's perspective. The enemy is seeing a radical change in tempo, a radical change in tone, at a time frame when that should be changing. They're getting thrown a curveball right at their heads. We have the luxury to adjust. They don't. You know, what they've done, what we've done is thrown a mantra, a big live grenade that can take all of them down with them at once, right into their laps, right into the heart of America. And I pulled the pin, just threw it in the rabbit holes. What are you going to do? You've got 90 days to 120 days to gamble with this not working. Beyond that point, you're gambling really that I can't adjust to make it work, that we can't hit our bullseye, that I'm off on my message, or I can't get my rabbit. I don't need conservatives or white nationalists necessarily. I just need one white rabbit in one area code to follow the white rabbit here in the United Kingdom. They weren't really, really willing to gamble that. Oh, there's some pink rabbits that have nothing but time to gamble with things because they don't have anything else going for them. But there are other elements there that aren't really comfortable. Because what happens when that comes out is someone else is dictating your timetable. You're not on your timetable anymore. You're on someone else's timetable. And you have a clock on your head. Because heaven forbid that works immediately, and 10 months out you've got a consistent message at the tea parties. At a time when there's a lot of anger in white America, you have a perfect storm lining up. And so on May 16, 2009, Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar pulled the pin out of the grenade and threw it in the pink rabbit holes. What are you going to do? You got a timeline. You got to move. If you have a deal on the table and you're a white bankster and you're in a wrong place at the right time, well, you got so many days to cut that deal and to move over and to sell out your side. If you're an undercover lover, and there are pink rabbit banksters and elitesters, I'm of the opinion that are undercover lovers. They're high-level operatives. They're blowing big kisses. Their job at that point of time, you know what they do? They walk in and they panic. Have you ever been driving? I'll explain to you what they do, what they should do, and I think what one of them did do. You know, you're driving in the car and you have some new person riding with you, and you know, they're not used to your driving, or maybe they're just a backseat driver, and or the person side street drive, you know, a side seat driver, and you maybe don't stop soon enough for a red light, and they go they start panicking, which almost causes you to have an accident. Well, the any undercover lover at that point of time is to do that. Their job is to start panicking, because panicking causes them to panic. They're used to being very secure in America. They're at the top of an ocean of white rage. Yeah, they're on the top of a white ocean of white rage. And what we're doing is letting them know that there's an earthquake underneath. And you don't know how big that tidal wave is going to be, and you may not want to find out. You may not want to be on the beach when it rolls in. But that's all it takes to bring down any close society. It always starts with a sound. It always starts with a vibration. And it usually takes a while to work up to it. The Berlin Wall took a while to work up to it. But then when the shot comes, it starts with a consistent message, and someone puts them on a consistent message, and then the process starts. It's 90 to 120 days before it when you're at the gambling point. Beyond that, you're totally gambling. But you would have 90 to 120 days to be worried, to make a deal, for anything, if you've got to make a decision, you have that, because your whole entire timetable is now wrecked. You have a closed society that is cavitating, and you have the perfect consistent message in the perfect storm to bring the place down, all under a white rabbit genocide, which is what you're guilty of. So it's not just like a Berlin Wall coming down to them. They think in terms of the Berlin Wall coming down and everyone, every pink rabbit into the big pot sitting in the back that has now come to a big boil. And that's the pot a lot of rabbits on this world want, and they're not even white. Yeah, the Japanese rabbits, the Chinese rabbits, they want these guys, and they can all be thrown in one pot at once. Forget about the little bankster pot that, a few of them broke this law, or a few Israeli, pink rabbits in Israel broke this law in Russia. No, no, no. This is every rabbit in the pool. This is one big bowl of soup at once. This is ruthless stuff. And so that's what we did. We threw the live grenade right into their holes on May 16, 2009. But if you've ever wondered why someone like old Bob, who is a conservative, who is pretty normal, soft-spoken, you can listen to a Bob's Underground graduate seminar, would his assistant, guarding at the gates, Brian, would throw something like this up there on May 16, 2009 that is so radically different than anything anyone's ever heard, the character, the imagery, the topics I'm talking about. Well, you're pulling the pin on a grenade. You want the enemy to think the same thing you thought. Why on earth is that there? Of course, they don't have time or they don't have the time to worry about it or consider whether or not it won't work. They know how this stuff works. They know how dynamic this stuff can be. They know how violent it is in a closed society. And this closed society has built up contradictions off race, and this contradiction off race is all going toward white rabbit genocide. They've tried to wipe out their founding gene pool. They haven't worked, and they're sitting on a sea of white rage, and we want to start that earthquake. But starting at the right time, the right way, and the right tone is very important. It's a change-up. It's a curveball at your head. So if any of these conservatives were angry at Bob for putting that up there, and it is, it's on Bob's Underground's graduate seminar, White Rabbit Radio, and believe me, at the time, everyone, several different groups around the world read Bob's site and liked Bob's site. These are allies of yours in Russia, allies of yours in Germany, allies of yours in London. Even in London, you have allies. Allies check up on what Bob's Underground graduate seminar is doing. They know where they're at. They know where they're stationed. They know what their job is. Their job is to point out white rabbit genocide. But on May 16, 2009, both your allies and your enemies would know the game was changing. That we're pulling the pin on a grenade and we're throwing it into the pink rabbit holes. And let's see what they do. Because you don't have the luxury of the little storm front who said there's no way that can work. Well, they know how this stuff works. It works very fast. And you can go listen to the Tea Party MP3 I just mentioned. You can listen to it yourself. It is violent in a closed society. It just rips right through it, and it starts immediately. And if you're the enemy, or if you're someone got to cut a deal, you've got to move. You're not comfortable anymore. You're not on your timetable. You're on someone else's. And that's always what we're looking to do across multiple different spectrums. We're looking to dictate an enemy's energy. We're looking to dictate and direct where an enemy has to direct its energy. If an enemy is allowed to sit up on top of America, is allowed to say anything it wants, do anything it wants, and be a little too comfortable, we want to look to dictate that at the right place at the right time. If their timetable was a year or 2 years, we want to look to move that. We want to look to make them uncomfortable because it throws them off their game. It totally diverts an energy flow. Also, it causes a lot of panic. There's another level of panic, and you got the pink rabbit type panic where the pink rabbits don't realize what this stuff's about. They report to the Pink Rabbit Banksters on this stuff, and that's their job. If you go to the Anti-Defamation League or the SPLC or any of these professional anti-racist groups, there'll be someone there that'll troll Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. They won't exactly advertise it, and they'll report on everything going on. But what they're going to do is they're gonna look at it, and they're gonna say, Mr. Pink Rabbit Bankster and Leaster, what's our exposure here? What's our exposure to this white rabbit genocide stuff? You know, I mean, what is the international law? Are they, you know, these guys have credentials. They don't seem like they're playing games. This isn't your normal type of activity going on here. They want to put them on a consistent message to expose white rabbit genocide. What's our exposure here? And the Pink Rabbit Banksters may lie to them, which they've probably done over the years. But to push comes to shove, they found out their exposure is Chernobyl. It's every rabbit in the pool. If you're a pink rabbit, if you're anyone associated with them, you've got to make a decision. You have 90 to 120 days to move. 90, 120 days to make the deal. And coming in the last fall, they did something. They did something, and this war with Iran will start the process. They blinked. They've been divided many nine ways to Sunday, but they were way too comfortable in America. And those of you that were on a consistent message, that are still on one consistent message, you're a big, big part of the process. Don't ever think you don't have any power. It all starts with a sound and a vibration. It has to come from inside out. But once it starts, it doesn't. That area code, you own that area code. It's yours. You made history in that area code. You will dominate the energy flow. They cannot stop it, they cannot control it, and they cannot even publicize it, really. But at the same time, you can't ignore it from a strategy level. You can ignore it. You know, SPLC is not exactly writing glowing pieces about Bob, and they're not exactly saying that Bob Whitaker is the ultimate picture of evil, and he's over there, and they're not exactly talking about white rabbit genocide or anything like that. But their bosses would be. They would know about it. They would know about it very quickly because someone's job it is to tell them. And they would know that their timetable in America is no longer guaranteed. You've got to move. You've got to make decisions because you've got a clock. This thing is not only coming down, which it was cratering, it was teetering, but it's going to come down under white rabbit genocide on all their heads. And it's not just a matter of a Berlin Wall coming down. It's a matter of tribunals. And there's no voting there. So those of you that were on a consistent message, I don't know the exact scenario. I don't know any exact. I have some ideals, but you're making history and you're continuing to make history. And it's not the big things; it's the simple things. And it will always be that way. If you're listening to me 10,000 years from now and there's a closed society that needs to be brought down, you need someone that writes you a consistent message. You need to point out the obvious over and over again. It takes one in any given area, and that's all it takes, and the whole thing starts cratering immediately. Nothing can stand up to the right sound, the right vibration at one time. At the right time, it's just not possible. It is not possible. It is vicious and violent in a closed system. It just comes ripping through it. But looking at it from the perspective of the enemy is very important, because you should know your enemy. And you should know if you're on the other side of a closed society and someone comes up with a consistent message that you think is going to go live, the grenade is going to get thrown in your lap, you have 90 to 120 days to make arrangements, to cut deals, to make considerations. If you've got a deal on the table and you've got to maybe sell out most of your group and cross lines, you got 90 to 120 days. Because when the 4th Infantry is in Baghdad, they're not going to need you anymore. It's pressure. And pressure always changes everything. It changes the energy flow. It changes the timetables. And that's what we will always look to do. But those that were on a consistent message, those that heard this, or those that were on a consistent message last fall, we made some history. Someone blinked. It's the impression I got. They're going to war. I've talked in my earlier MP3s about they're going to war with Iran, and I don't know exactly when, but war with Iran is that's the doom scenario. That's a scenario that none of them want it, and they have to go there. So that should tell you something. And we won't know the whole thing until who knows how long it'll be before we know every little thing that happened. But this stuff is extremely dynamic. It happens very fast. It is very fast moving, and it is still ongoing. So by all means, stay on message. But attacking someone that, you know, if you're sitting in some comfortable position up at the top and there's this ocean of white rage underneath you, start the earthquake. Start the earthquake, because that causes fear. It causes fear in the pink rabbits. It causes agreements have to be struck. But it only takes 90 to 120 days. And they don't have any room to move beyond that. Because what you'd be gambling on is that we didn't find my rabbit. That I couldn't find you. The one that was out there on a consistent message, or the one that bugged everyone, and every group will have this rabbit that bugged everyone to listen, or the one that, young Mr. Black on the genocide message over and over again. They're all coming on message at the right time, and it happens very, very quickly. But this will be an ongoing process as we head into this final chapter of coasting into chaos. But this was another episode of Follow the White Rabbit, and I thought you'd enjoy understanding it from your enemy's perspective. Your enemy doesn't have the luxury or the leisure to sit around and think they're in some big control point and they can stay there forever. Your enemy doesn't have the luxury or the leisure of not knowing they have traitors and enemies around them. Your enemy does not have the luxury of leisure or being naive about how this stuff works. Now, granted, you're in unquantified territory because of the charges. You're in unquantified territory trying to put someone on a consistent message over the internet instead of in groups and whatnot. It is very unconventional stuff. But you're in unconventional times, and we have an unconventional new media, the internet. So you guys are doing a tremendous job. And in the next one, I'm going to go back into, I'm probably going to release two more right away, and we're going to go back into, I've got to answer some questions from the, to be fair to my conspiracy white rabbit audience, my growing conspiracy white rabbit audience, I got to answer some questions. I'm going to talk to, I'll talk to all of it from a more racial perspective, or try to head off in that direction. And then I'm going to go back into some Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar type topics. But the enemy didn't have the luxury that we had, knowing whether or not something's going to work or to adjust. When you hear something radically different, the first thing it's going to do is frighten you. You know, if you're used to getting a drum, if the red hippo is used to getting a drum beat on him, and that's what you're doing, you're beating a drum at an animal. You're driving an animal, and you're making him make horrible decisions. We want them to make horrible decisions. That's the whole objective, to beat that drum by any means necessary. Make sure we have a rabbit hole. That's the ultimate objective, but to do that, you got to do it with a sound, and you're beating a drum with a red hippo. But we took out a radically different drum and started beating it. Same message, just a different drum. And the first thing an animal is going to do is become frightened. You know, and the first thing your allies are going to do, they're going to use it to their advantage. The fear is useful. Always use fear. But I'll be back with you on the next Follow the White Rabbit.
This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.